welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 166. We had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year too, but we are back this week to talk about, well, to finish our Game of the Year review countdown, just taking a look at the past 9 months of the year, I guess, and potential Game of the Years from that. Joining me this week, we have Daniel.
Hello.
We have Martin.
Hi.
And from his self-imposed exile, we have Anthony.
How do you do this again?
Just talk into the microphone. I think you'll be fine.
All right, I'll try and get the hang of it. Good to be back.
But yes, this week we are going to, well, like I said, we're going to be talking about just games that came out this past 2014 and potentials for our Game of the Year, which I think, if my scheduling is right, is in about 2 weeks for us. I do it later on in the year because it gives us time, especially with the holiday season. One, we're all over the face, which is why we haven't had an episode in 2 weeks, but it also gives us time to play, digest, and think about what we actually want to talk about. And truth be told, I haven't made up the categories yet. So there's that.
It's true, you have to come up with some new dumb categories that make sense.
That's
what
the best part.
It's a good thing, but it also kind of sucks. We actually had no game that got anybody fired this year or anything major. So I think that's the first in like four or five years of doing this where it's been a good year for you to reason a game and not getting fired right afterwards.
I will definitely suggest that we will need an award for most broken game this year.
Oh, that there you go. And so there we go. But we'll do that in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
So let's kind of kick it off with, we're kicking it off in April, and we're going to go, Ghost Simulator. Tell me about, because I've heard a lot of people talk about this. I don't know if they're talking about it in jest or if they're actually serious about it.
Well, there's nothing really to talk about, like, in regards to what Ghost Simulator is anyway. Like, the way it works is you're just given a map, and you have all these broken physics that are sort of broken intentionally, and you just run around causing chaos and try. I guess, if anything, the main goal of the game is to drop the frame rate as much as possible, because that's the only real measure that you have of what you're doing is right, because obviously the more physics bugs you encounter, the lower the frame rate will get. But yeah, it's a funny premise, I guess, but like, I literally put 7 minutes into the game, and I was like, I'm done. I've seen everything that this game has got to offer. And then they released the GOAT MMO Simulator update for free, what is it, a couple of months ago maybe. And I checked it out for maybe another 7 minutes, and then I was like, yeah, okay, the MMO thing is kind of, is a lot funnier, but it's still not much to it.
I actually thought what I've seen of it, I haven't played it, I thought that MMO thing was actually less funny. Anyway, I haven't played it. I thought about playing Goat Simulator, but on the other hand, since there really isn't that much gameplay to it, I mostly just watched videos of all the secret stuff in it, which is mostly actually the funniest stuff in that game, and after that I thought, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so it won't be on our Game of the Year, this is what I'm getting. Mercenary Kings, which is, I believe, a game Martin reviewed this year.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
That's all I can say about it. It's okay.
It's okay. Game of the Year.
Game of the Year. Well, I mean, to be fair, that does seem to be the consensus this year for Game of the Year. It's like, this was okay, that's good.
That's my opinion of most games this year. It was okay.
Going down, Kinect Sports Rivals, there go The Hobbit. Nothing.
I'd leave Show 14.
I would have picked up Lego The Hobbit if it wasn't for the fact that I already own a Lego game, and they're all the same, so.
Well, they are the same, but it depends on the franchise you enjoy.
Well, this is it. Is Marvel's the one that I can sort of relate to the most, because
and that's the fun one.
And then even then, like, you get to find out like little bits about heroes that you've never heard of, like Ant-Man. I don't know who Ant-Man is.
Ant-Man is awesome.
Well, it won't fight
going to push this year, so.
I was about to say, we'll see if anybody knows who Ant-Man is come, what, November?
Yep.
Is it November or whatever? I skipped MLB the Show because I think we talked about it last time when it came out for PS4 the month before.
Oh, right, true. That was just the PS3 and Vita release coming out.
Yeah.
The PS4 version came out a month later, I think, in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good game.
Yeah.
That was better than okay.
Skipping down a lot, what I think is a game of the year for... was actually Game Troy's game of the year, Hearthstone.
Hearthstone is great. I love Hearthstone. Hearthstone is up there for me.
I would just say don't pay it on Android right now.
Oh my god, I can echo that.
Is it a terrible force?
I have a 2013 Nexus 7, so it's not a slouch in the hardware department, right? And I downloaded it, and it ran like crap, and I was like, what? This is like the benchmark hardware as well, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it. It's not a complicated game, but I mean, that thing runs awful. I mean, it's a card game. Why the hell are you stuttering and lagging on me here?
It was stuttering and lagging in the menu, and I was like, I'm uninstalling this, because if it's stuttering and lagging in the menu, I am not going to get a smooth experience when it's actually in the game.
Well, I have mostly playing on my Mac and my iPad.
Yeah, you.
Everyone's great on those.
Lucky you, he has an iPad, you know?
Well,
it worked on the iPad. Everything just worked on the iPad.
I mean, to be fair to Apple, it's because they have one OS, and it's not like Android where you have multiple OS, and every company has their own custom ROM, and it's all this headache.
I understand that, but there's a reason why I bought the benchmark Android devices, you know?
From a year ago, and it's insane. I mean, I don't know why it's running. Like, I understand that it may not be optimized properly for everything, but running that poorly was just so heartbreaking. Because I've heard such great things about it. I'm like,
and
I finally get to try
Dead
this
Trigger,
out.
Games like Dead Trigger run great.
I'm going to say this. It's Blizzard. It will probably sort out fine over time.
Well, then the thing is like, I've just been waiting for it for a while. Because I don't like the interface on a PC. It really doesn't work great with a mouse. Whereas, obviously, dragging something with your finger makes a lot more sense. And, the iPad version has been out for a decent amount of time now. And it's not like Blizzard is a small indie company, you know. So, it's just a shame they couldn't get it working on day one.
Yeah.
But, I would probably end up liking Hearthstone if I could get a decent tablet version of it. But I don't at the moment.
I guess the idea is it's probably not going to win for Daniel and I if we can actually play it.
Well, you can't say just because the iPad version is bad, it's a bad game.
Well, no, no. I'm just saying that, but we're not going to vote for something we can't really play right now.
My experience of it...
He already played it on the PC, though, so...
Yeah.
But I think it seems like a game that's much better to play on the go.
Well, that's why
I don't agree.
Well, I mean, it could be wrong. I mean, again, I haven't had a chance to sink my teeth into it, but
you probably download it on your PC.
Yeah, okay.
You have one of those.
You do not have any proof of that. Trials Fusion.
It was okay. No, it was more trials. It didn't really reinvent the wheel. It had the stunt thing, but that just was such a small part of the game, and I didn't think it was the best part of the game by a long shot.
Sokai Warrior Sword.
What?
Okay.
That came out? What is that? I have no idea.
Isn't that the free-to-play Soul Calibur game on the PlayStation Network? It's like...
I haven't tried it. It's a free-to-play game by Namco.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's a free-to-play fighting game that's only one player, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
I think it's like the event... It's like just the adventure mode and stuff like that.
So, wait, hang on. So, the point of... So, Namco's solution to... We can't have a balanced free-to-play fighting game is to just remove the multiplayer.
It has multiplayer, just a local multiplayer.
That's really...
I don't think it has multiplayer at all.
I'm pretty sure it has.
Are you sure?
I think it's just on local, I think.
I swear it was just like... I think it's Wikipedia is telling me it's single player only.
What?
That's what I remember from it. It's like people were like, okay, they'd give it a chance if it was free to play, but it came out that it's multiplayer only.
That is just...
I mean, single player only, I should say.
That is the dumbest thing.
That is the most bizarre decision I have ever heard.
I think they just focused on the story mode, and that was it. And everybody knows you face Hellkaiba for the story mode.
And on top of that, all Namco free-to-play stuff is energy-based garbage, so...
Yeah. NES Remix 2? I enjoy NES Remix 2. I think it's better than the first one. But where the first one was a surprise hit because it just kind of... Like it already was announced and came out the same day. NES Remix kind of had the anticipation of knowing what to get. And it's NES Remix the better version because it has all the NES games people actually care to play. Nowadays,
well,
not the
some people,
that...
some people like going between the two is that some people enjoyed the first one a lot more because they had some titles in there that you know they weren't overly familiar with. Whereas this one... If you did Punch-Out or Zelda, it just took small sections of the games that you knew. It essentially lets you beat a bite-sized version of the game instead of doing challenges like to complete stuff in a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
you know?
But the difference is there's a reason that people still play the NES Remix 2 games 30 years later, and nobody talks about the NES Remix 1 games, and that's because they don't hold up as well. So part of the frustration with NES Remix was that some of those controls and some of those mechanics were just antiquated.
Yeah. I think it was, for me, that was another okay game. I had some fun with it, but it didn't blow me away or anything.
Now, I thought the first one, I enjoyed the first, I don't think it made my Game of the Year, but it made an honorable mention because it literally came out like the 11th hour of the year. And I kind of surprised because we don't often get games that are kind of announced out of nowhere and released at the same time. With NES Remix 2, it's kind of like you know what you're getting, so it's like, it's fun, but I knew it's more of the same, especially being that it came out 5 months after the first one.
My problem with it is, I think they still didn't do enough with the remixing. And I also think that the game selection still wasn't all that.
Yeah, I think, and
I don't
know.
Like, various words, I could not care less about that game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I do think there should be a mixture. I think they should, and I don't know if Ultimate NES Remix did this on the 3DS, but I do think if there's games from the first one and games from the second one that I kind of mix and match and kind of do stuff with that. But yes, I do think the remix stuff is really cool. And I really wish they would go more into that, especially with the challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like right now you got a handful of remixes, and then it's like the bulk of the game is just kind of playing bit-sized pieces of the NES.
Exactly. I could, like, see, like, get rid of just playing those bit-sized pieces because I really don't care to just do the remix stuff.
Well, I think you need the bit size.
Way more interesting for me.
I think you need the bit size pieces because some people haven't played these games or haven't played them in decades, so it makes sense to kind of get you acclimated with them again. But
but like that, there's quite a lot of those bit size pieces that probably doesn't need to be as much to get people familiar with those games.
I think that's the problem. It's like it's kind of like a really grindy tutorial. It's like, okay, we have 10 challenges. 7 of them are trying to learn the basic controls. Okay, but moving on. Child of Light.
I played the demo and did not care for it.
I was kind of the same way, but I've heard so many people say stuff like this. Like, I kind of want to try it, but I'm like, I tried the demo and it didn't grab me. So I don't know if it's worth wasting money to kind of see what everybody's talking about. That never works that well for me.
I did end up buying it. I didn't get too far into it. I think it's just because of work, other games coming out. But I obviously, you know, it's the UB Art Engine. It's a beautiful game. And what I've played of it so far, I've enjoyed it. But I need to dive back into it.
Yeah,
I didn't care for the writing, and the mechanics were just way too simple.
Kirby Triple Deluxe.
I was actually going to buy this. I actually don't know why I didn't. It's really strange. I might pick it up sometime this year when I've got some free time and I just want to sit down on my 3DS.
Yeah,
for me, it's not the Kirby game I want. I'm more into the like canvas cursed type stuff, which is kind of the Kirby games that are awesome at this point.
I don't know if I've ever played a pure Kirby platformer. I played like Epic Yarn, and I played Mass Attack. I don't know if I've ever actually done like a Kirby game.
You never played a Kirby's Adventure on the NES?
No. Like, I'm
pretty sure you have at least played parts of it because you've played NES Remix.
Yeah, I played the NES Remix, so that counts. But I don't think I've ever. And I no, it's what's the Curse Mirror or whatever the one on the GBA is? Is that
Amazing
a Kirby
Mirror?
Game? Amazing Mirror, but that's more like a Kirby meet Metroidvania type deal.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, all the Kirby platformers kind of blend together, but it's the unique ones you're talking about, like Canvas Curse, Mass Attack, Epic Yarn, the ones that really stand out.
Yeah.
Mario Golf World Tour. Martin was a huge fan of this.
Yeah, that was a really cool game. Yeah. had some issues, though. I think the multiplayer is actually the best part of it. Similar to, what was the tennis game called? Was it World Tennis? On a 3DS? Well, similar to it, I thought like the single player portion was just a bit light. They definitely could have done more with that.
Well, yeah, I agree there. And I also did not like how you had to go to a lobby to get to any modes you wanted. I had to search and find where the even online tournaments and stuff were. Just like a simple menu option would have been nice.
Yeah, that was probably also a bit too confusing, or at least not easily or not well enough done.
Okay. Borderlands 2 for PS Vita.
Borderlands 2 at 20 FPS, you mean?
Does it even reach 20 FPS?
And are you two players?
Yeah.
Super Time Force. Okay, skipping down. Transistor.
I should have bought that in the Steam sale. Is it still up on the Steam
sale? I played it. I didn't care for it.
Actually, no, I remember now, because you were saying that, Supergiant hadn't really fixed their world building is great, but gameplay is not so great.
Yeah, I actually liked the mechanics and thought the world building is terrible.
Oh, okay.
The mechanics are good, it's interesting, but it just got stale since you just play one character, so it's not that much variation unless they force you into it when you basically suck at the game and you can't use some abilities because they got locked out because of you dying. But otherwise, if you find a combo that works, you can basically go through the whole game with just that one combo, and it's not very exciting. And all the world building is kind of it's very obtuse, and they want you to do like specific challenges so you unlock story parts that you can then read and stuff like that. Just playing through the game, the story is kind of nonsensical. I don't know. Wasn't a fan.
Okay. Wolfenstein the New Order.
I think this is actually one of the best games that I've played this year, because I really didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
It's more surprisingly good than...
Well, I mean...
Really good, I think. I think it's good. It didn't make my top 10.
Well, I mean, I've been hankering for a shooter that's kind of more old school for a while.
That's exactly my problem with it. For all the old school talk they talked... It really isn't old school.
Well, I think it's old school in the right places.
They still take control from you way too often, have way too much walking around.
I don't think it's a problem. I liked it because the world is interesting. I think the fact that it's a sequel to Wolfenstein 2009, which is a sequel to Return to Castle Wolfenstein, is really weird but great in a weird way. The guns are really nice to handle. There's no fucking bullshit, goddamn hide in a corner until you get all your health back stuff.
Mechanically, it's great. It's still not old school enough from a story perspective or how they handle storytelling. And
no, I really like the story.
I didn't think they get you fast enough into the action. And I also don't really thought like that tonally the game was all over the place and really inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any problem with all those things because I just sort of treated it as if Quentin Tarantino were to make a video game.
I didn't get that.
So,
I feel like that would be Grasshopper.
If I don't think so. I think they're a bit. The Grasshopper games tend to be a bit too trashy, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say they had a better budget.
Yeah.
I think Tarantino is totally more consistent. They try to do what he does, but they can't.
I didn't say that they succeeded. I just said that I would make that comparison with Grasshopper more than anybody else.
Yeah, I really like Wolfenstein. I think they took a character that was just like a meathead. They even made him look like a meathead again. And they made him like somebody that wasn't quite a meathead, that they actually were kind of thoughtful about what it is that they were doing, despite the fact that he was still just going around shooting Nazis at the end of the day. I don't know. I just thought he was interesting on the whole. And I liked the old school but not quite feel of it. So that's what I'm thinking about.
Well, from one game that exceeds expectations to another one that really completely bombed expectation, Watch Dogs.
Oh, God. I get really angry whenever this game gets brought up because of how Ubisoft advertised it and how people, like, there's just so much stuff wrong with it. It's so tone deaf in everything that it does. It's ridiculous.
I was about to say, I feel like me and Martin kind of saw that coming. I remember seeing it at Comic-Con the year before and just being like, this looks like every other open-world game. The reason it was so anticipated, so hyped, was because it was the first, quote-unquote, next-gen game we saw that was actually a thing. Like, it's the same reason that people kind of gravitated towards Star Wars 1313. And then it just kind of came out, and it was the game that we've played before. It's just not as good with a protagonist that everybody seems to hate.
Oh, my God. I'm pretty
sure we had this talk on the podcast about how, I think shortly before it came out, like, the more we've seen of the game, the worse it looked.
And
then it turned on to be,
And there's so many, like, and the fact that, like, the PC version didn't work if under certain configurations, and by certain configurations, I mean my configuration, for months until after the game came out. And
well, Ubisoft was just testing people's patience for the end of the year.
God.
So.
Yeah, and just the fact that, like, I don't know who wrote the story, but, oh my God, is it awful, you know? Where Aiden Pierce's sister, she pleads with him to stop doing it, what he does, because it's getting her into trouble, and then he goes and does it, and she gets kidnapped anyway, and just the more people spoke about Watch Dogs, the worse, like, it got, because, you know, there was the thing about how all the train rails run at right angles. So that means that Ubisoft were cutting corners, literally, in their world building, you know? The fact that, what was it? It was a few weeks ago that somebody was talking about the fact that the mission, you can actually, after one of the cutscenes where they're in front of Aiden's niece's grave, the game just lets you vault over the grave as if it's like a piece of cover. And it's so tone deaf, it's ridiculous. I hate that game.
X to vault over grave.
I don't hate many games. It may sound surprising. I don't like a lot of games, but there are very few games I just hate with every fibre of my being, and Watch Dogs is one of them. Because it symbolises everything that is wrong with Ubisoft's game design and Ubisoft's production cycles and Ubisoft's advertising campaigns as well.
Okay. Well, for that to a game that is beloved and kind of exemplifies this company's design philosophy, Mario Kart 8. Which
that was a good game.
It's one of my favorite Mario Karts, which doesn't say a lot. Great level, amazing music.
I'm not the biggest Mario Kart guy, but
yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, fantastic DLC, which you can't really say too often nowadays.
Actually, I prefer the content of the DLC to the main content of the main game.
Huh. Yes, but I think the reason that works is because the content from the DLC is something people want, but it wasn't something that was necessarily taken from the core game.
It's something that people have kind of been asking Nintendo to do for a while. Just make it a super, like, make it a Nintendo Kart instead of a Mario Kart.
And they did it without breaking the bank. It's really cheap. Not the game, but the DLC. It's fantastic. One, it has an online multiplayer that actually works, which is a huge thing this year. It has some of the Nintendo headaches. There's still no chat when you play Mario Kart with... Well, you can chat in the lobby, but you can't chat anytime else. And you can only chat in the lobby if it's with friends, not with, like, strangers.
Oh, you beat me! Oh, you beat me!
Well, I think you could actually chat as
one
well.
Of 15, oh, can you?
Yeah, like you can chat that. In the lobby. It's weird. It's a system with a built-in mic that doesn't get any use for the most part.
The Hunter used it.
I haven't done it with the Mario Kart. I did it with Smash, and it was horrible. For intents and purposes there, I've played with a few people, and I literally just call them on the phone and put it on speaker.
Yeah, or Skype, or sometimes it's like, we'll do GChat or Twitter or something like that. It's kind of a shame, but, I mean, granted,
it just sucks that Nintendo's fear of fucking child molesters is basically hindering a great online experience in the sense of communication with other people.
Yeah,
and I don't know if they're still, you know, just kind of getting around to it, but if it's anything like that, what they did with Smash Brothers is that they didn't have it during the game itself because they wanted to keep the connection as smooth as possible, according to them.
Yeah,
in Smash it makes sense. I don't think that's a really good reason like I said, in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, you could chat the whole time.
I don't buy that though, because like if literally every other company can make online games that have VoIP all the time in the game and the games work, you know, why can't Nintendo?
It's because they don't want to. And I think ultimately
What I'm saying though. It's like,
I don't care. I don't necessarily care for chat in game. I want the option to talk with friends, even if it's like a system wide party chat. Because I don't really talk to people while I'm playing a game. Like even when I'm on my Xbox One or whatever, I prefer just kind of give me the option to be with my friends and talk to them. That's what I want. I don't want to talk to random people because I've had enough nonsense on Xbox Live for a lifetime between racists and bigots and 12-year-old kids. I just want to be able to talk to my friends while playing the game and making it easier to set up where it's like, okay, I'm on now. I open up a room and you're chatting this in like GChat or Skype or something like that. Because my setup isn't set up for me to talk on my computer and play video games because that's not what you need. Well, video games on my TV. That's not what you need. But aside from Nintendo's really weird habits, it's a great game. Some people might turn off, but it shouldn't turn you off. It's a really fun game. One of the best multiplayer games this year. I think I actually prefer Titanfall, but a game that came out this year that I'm sure everybody beloved and talks about still, Murdered Soul Suspect. Did anybody here actually play that?
I bought it. I bought it. I didn't buy it. Somebody bought this £5 Square Enix do a deal every year where you pay £5 and they give you a random bunch of games, right, on Steam. And they got Murdered Soul Suspect and they didn't want it, so they gave it to me. And I played it. I've played it for how long? I've played it for 2 hours and the game's not terribly interesting. So... The way it works is you sort of you get killed, and then you do investigations on your own murder, and it leads you on a sort of story where you follow, and you can going between areas where you solve your case, you can solve other people's murders, and usually it's like a woman on a beach and she's dead and she didn't know it, and you speak to her and you find out that she was on a boat and the boat was sinking, and then she ended up being in a lifeboat, and the lifeboat crashed on shore, and that's how she died. And it's just so simple. And the only real gameplay you have, aside from looking around crime scenes and picking things up and sort of possessing people to find out more information, is there are these stealth sections where like these ghosts, these demons kind of walk around, and you have to basically ambush them from behind and do a QTE to kill them. But it's still not that interesting. Like, the game's not bad by any means. It's just don't find it terribly gripping.
From what I saw and what I've heard, it sounds like somebody somehow made a worse David Cage game than David Cage.
Well, it's got more gameplay than a David Cage game. But I think Heavy Rain's a lot more interesting, like, from a story point of view. And this is the thing, though, is like, it's a lot of people who compared it to Ghost Trick when it came out. It's not like Ghost Trick, but Ghost Trick is a much better game. It's the same kind of idea, but it's much better because it has a novel puzzle-solving mechanic that's time-based, whereas Murdered is just like, oh, just take as long as you want. And even if you make wrong deductions, the game doesn't really penalise you for doing so. So...
Okay.
I always thought the game looked like a cool premise with a lackluster execution.
Yeah.
When they announced it, I thought it sounds really cool, but immediately when I heard about what kind of gameplay they were thinking about, I thought, like, how are they going to manage that with this premise? And...
They didn't.
Well, they kind of didn't. I thought, like, from what I saw, it probably would have turned out a more interesting game if they had just made it a traditional adventure game with the same premise.
Tomodachi Life. Anybody actually play that?
I have the demo.
I own the game. I just haven't gotten a chance to open it yet because I'm sticking to my... I'm on Fire Emblem for like 3 months now. From what I've seen and what I've played of the moving in demo, it seems like it's one of those really Nintendo ideas that they somehow got to work.
Yeah, like Animal Crossing.
Yeah, like it shouldn't work or shouldn't be interesting to a lot of people because you don't have direct control over these characters. You don't control them, you interact with them. And somehow they make that engaging and fun and bizarre and strange and...
Oh, I think that's the point, though, is, like, all the fun is in how strange the game actually is.
Yeah. I wonder if that gets old.
And this is the thing, it's like, I mean, there's probably a lot of content in the game to see, but I can imagine after a while you've seen it all, and you're like, oh, it's this weird dream from this character again.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of curious about it. It's intertwined. Did anybody... Like, I know that was a huge, hey, look, this game is out right now from Sony at E3, but I don't know if anybody actually played it.
I looked at it and thought it looked really uninteresting, so I didn't try it.
Okay. EA Sports UFC.
I played the demo. I thought the controls were way too complicated for what it was. It seemed like they thought... All those THQ UFC games were pretty okay, but let's make the controls incomprehensible.
It's on EA Access, which I still am interested in at least trying out, so I might do that and return with that. Pushmo World.
Now that's a good game.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of the Pushmo franchise. I've not played Crashmo, but I like Pushmo. It's really fun. It's charming. It's in HD, which doesn't make a world of difference. I haven't said this yet. I kind of say this with Captain Toad. I think it's one of those games that would have, it's better on the 3DS because I prefer it in 3D than I do in, like, you know, high res.
And it's a great portable game. I mean, this one's better in the sense that you can get a bunch of people around to try and help you do the puzzles. I admit one of the big appeals of this Pushmo World is obviously the online sharing of levels, which I haven't delved into. Have any of you guys?
Yeah, and it's much, because of how Nintendo's the Wii U setup, it's much, much more user-friendly. Partially because it goes through Miiverse, and then they have like a Miiverse island where you can kind of go, and then they have like the, you know, they'll have like the 100 most recent ones, and then they have the ones that people upvoted the most, and that's another section, and then you can just kind of browse them as well. So it's much better than the 3DS version where you have to get like a QR, you know, you have to get the QC code or whatever.
Right. Right. Whatever reason, it reminds me of a Boom Blocks Bash Party, if any of you guys played that on the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually, some of the new puzzle mechanics they introduced, like the push-pull mechanic and stuff like that. So it was nice because there's even some puzzles in here that are repeats of the ones from Pushmo, but they kind of do it with like, okay, we're going to do the new mechanic now. So it's not the same solution, but it's the same setup. And I thought that was great as well. So yeah, it's a really fun game. Maybe not $15 worth, but... and I guess the digital promotions. I actually got it with my digital deluxe promotion, so that it was free. But yeah, very fun game.
Yeah, I think Nintendo is maybe a bit overpricing their smaller games, is what it seems like.
I think I always thought Nintendo games were overpriced for the most part, anyway. Because I mean, I pay £35 for a 3DS game at a time.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about the European 3DS prices. Both are ridiculous.
You see, I guess partially because I only buy their big games at full price. I don't buy most big games at full price.
You're lucky in the sense that you actually get discounts on Nintendo games. We don't.
But yeah, I guess. I mean, it's yeah.
Also, like I said, for smaller games, what is Harmonite? Isn't Harmonite also like €15 or something?
Harmonite or Shovel Knight?
No, Harmonite. I thought Harmonite was $10. It was the Pokemon Company game, the musical
rhythm game.
Yeah. I thought it was $10. Is it not?
I'm not sure. I think I paid €15 for it or €12 for it.
Yeah, it's $15. Maybe that's why I don't.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't own it. It's a fun game from the demo, but...
Yeah.
I think they just kind of settled on 15, because NES Remix 1 and 2 are 15, Pushmo is 15. They have some smaller...
I'm not saying it's a bad game, just for what it is.
I completely agree with you. And I think that's an excuse... not an excuse, that's a thing that can be leveled against them in general. I think a lot of people kind of agree with the same thing with Virtual Console prices. If they came down like $2 a piece, that would be much more suitable for people.
Yeah.
Especially
I would favor the Virtual Console games if they were $2.50 each.
Yeah, especially being... I don't even mind if they're $5. If Nintendo, after 30 years, you should know what games people think are really good and what games people really think are crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And price the really crappy ones for like $1 or $2.
Earl, are you telling me that Pokemon Puzzle Challenge is an instant classic? Exactly my point, right? Is Pokemon Puzzle Challenge is £5, and I don't know anybody who would pay £5 for that.
Yeah, but a game that I don't think was a ripoff at its price, and it's actually currently $10 on the Wii U and 3DS eShop, is Shovel Knight.
That was one of my favorite games of the year. I mean, Retro has obviously made a big comeback as far as game development stuff goes, but this was done very, very well controlled, really tight combat. It was fun, great upgrades. The levels were, you know, they were different each time. The bosses were fun. It was challenging. It was a lot of just great stuff put in one package, and that's, like, if there's one downloadable title that I would recommend to anyone this year, that would be it.
Yeah, I think I was listening to the Play One podcast, and I think what they said, and this is why I have Shovel Knight, is a lot of retro games try to recreate the era of like NES and pixel art. Shovel Knight recreated it, but then made a sequel. It's like, this is what happened if we continued making games in this vein, and not necessarily like, we stopped making games in this vein, we want to go back. This is like, okay, how do we advance this medium? And that's what Shovel Knight is. It's like, okay, you had all these great ideas. Now we're just going to build on that. And then this is why I love it. I will tip my... It's not my game of the year, but it's easy. Top 5 for me.
Well, I think this is the thing about Shovel Knight that most other sort of retro-style games don't take advantage of, is Shovel Knight is a game that was created as if we could make games on the NES, but we know what we know now, and we don't actually have a limit, like, by the technology. Because, I mean, yes, the colours are all the same colours that would be reproduced on the system, and the music could be reproduced by the system if you wanted it to. But, like, they made the game as big as they wanted to. You know, they made the game have whatever mechanics that they wanted that they knew were good, like the whole when you die, you drop some money, and it, you know, like that Dark Souls does. So, it's actually a retro throwback that's learned something from other games instead of, oh, we're just going to make a game that's like the games that you know used to play.
And even in some ways, its own unique thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know if other games do this, but I have the system with the checkpoints where you can destroy the checkpoint to get more money, but then if you die, you have to start over again. And it's a great kind of first reward thing where it's like, okay, I'll destroy all the checkpoints in the stage because I'm good enough to beat it for, you know, straight through. And other times it's like, okay, you know what, I don't know this stage, I'm going to keep all the checkpoints in lock and key. So yeah, it's a really fantastic game. Like I said, it's $10 right now, 33% off or whatever. Go check it out. Completely worth the $15 I paid for it. Let's see, this game's July, which is always such a terrible month for games.
Whoa.
What did we miss?
Oh no, we didn't miss... No, sorry, we didn't miss it. It was just the port that I saw. Sorry.
Okay.
This is a bit confusing at times.
Yeah, it gets really... I'm trying to skip through because a lot of them, especially like PC and iOS, there's a lot of games that just have multiple releases.
July, I could say I enjoyed Sniper Elite 3.
Okay.
That was a pretty fun
dick
game.
Dick shooting game.
Sorry?
The dick shooting game.
That's yeah.
All anybody ever shows about it.
It's a dick shooting game.
The best one on the market.
No, it actually, I think it's a very fun, like, stealthy third-person shooter, and the mechanics they have for a snipe-based game based around sniping are very interesting in the sense of that you, I mean, it's World War II, you don't have a silencer on your sniper rifle, but they have things like, yeah, you can shoot from a huge distance and they might notice that someone got shot, but the enemies don't immediately know where you are. They can just say, oh, he's in that general direction, then you can relocate and basically still continue stealthily, although you shot someone in the head from 500 meters away.
And from what I've noticed, from what I've seen, they've fixed the problem that they had in Sniper Elite 2, where it's a sniping game. Well, Sniper Elite V2 was a sniping game, and they put you in medium length halls for a lot of the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's not corridor like the previous one. It has lots of open areas and lots of levels where you can approach things from different directions or complete objectives in the order you want and stuff like that. It's actually quite enjoyable for what essentially is like the kind of B title these days, I would say.
Okay, The Wolf Among Us, we can finally talk about because it ends this month, ended that month.
I haven't
anybody?
Played
I hadn't played The Wolf Among Us because I was playing The Walking Dead and I try to only have one Telltale game at a time, otherwise it's too samey.
Okay, then I think that's pretty much it for July. Yes, I'm missing anything you folks want to talk about.
Let's see, July. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Not really, and August isn't much better for the first half.
Sacred 3 turned out to be crap.
Tales of Exilia 2? Anybody played that?
I care so much about the Tales series because they are so interesting story-wise and they really reinvent the mechanics from game to game.
I feel like you're being sarcastic.
Yes.
Infamous first
the most boring RPG series I could think of.
I've only played two, so maybe that's why. Infamous First Sight.
I'm playing that once it's out on PlayStation Plus in a couple of days.
Okay. Madden 15.
That was good. I played. That's fun.
Mighty Gunvolt. Okay.
Wait, what?
It's
not out. That game's not out in Europe yet.
Oh, okay. Anthony, Professor Aim versus Phoenix Wright. Even though, was that out this year for you?
That
folks?
Was out in this year.
Okay, so it's still out this year.
Well, I just finished Professor Layton and the Azrin Legacy, and I got Phoenix Wright the most recent one. The
five
name
or the trilogy?
What's that? Not the trilogy.
Oh, so five then.
Yeah. And so I wanted to go through that most recent Phoenix Wright before I got the Leighton and Phoenix Wright crossover. So believe it or not, I have not bought it yet.
I don't know if that's a good idea, because Nintendo decided to use a different voice actor for Phoenix, which is kind of jarring. Nintendo localized it, yeah.
They have the same guy for Leighton.
Yeah, it's the same guy for Leighton, but they used a different guy for Phoenix.
Yeah, Nintendo localizes because it's basically a Leighton game, and Nintendo localizes both.
And the gameplay on the Phoenix Wright side of things is more like the first one than it is any of the others, in the sense that you get five chances and you're out, instead of you have a bar of varying amounts. So I don't know, it's up to you really. However, I have played Phoenix Wright versus Ace Attorney. Phoenix Wright versus Ace Attorney, the same thing. Phoenix Wright versus Leighton, even. And it's kind of an easy game on the Professor Leighton side if you're used to the Professor Leighton games. And it's kind of an easy game on the Phoenix Wright side if you're used to the games in general. But, like, as a mashup of both of them, it's really good because it swaps between them often enough that you don't get bored with any one set of mechanics. The story is kind of interesting, although the payoff isn't great at all. The music is
fantastic. It's like fantasy-type world, right?
Where yeah, the explanation for it is so bad. I was just like, oh, really? But it's more the stuff that happens that goes on while you're there that intrigues you than the sort of the reason why the place is how it is. The music is fantastic. It's probably some of the best music I've ever heard in any video game ever. And it sounds fantastic, even coming out of a 3DS, because I noticed that some games tend to have like fairly low-quality audio, whereas the audio in Professor Layton Phoenix... Professor Layton Phoenix Wright is so good. It's fantastic. I love it. So it's a good mashup of both of them. It's actually probably one of the best games I've played this year, although I'm probably going to be the minority in saying that.
I think you are the minority in saying it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go into September, and that's when things
start. You missed one thing in August.
What did I miss?
You missed Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition.
I count that as a port, though.
Yeah, it's
but
the same reason.
It's the best version of that game.
I know,
yeah,
but
the game came back in
2012. It's the same reason I skipped the Last of Us remastered.
I played it because it's the best version of a game, because it didn't have the auction house. Mechanically, it's great.
And you can play it offline.
You can play it offline. It's more interesting than the PC version because of the added dodging mechanic, which the PC version doesn't have. It's a fantastic game in that sense.
Okay. But it won't count for us. Danganronpa 2?
Danganronpa. Danganronpa.
Did you play that?
No.
Okay.
How would I? It's the fucking Vita.
Yeah.
People own Vitas.
I call bullshit on that, Earl. I don't believe you.
Angry Birds Stella. I did not know there was a new Angry Bird game this year.
I think that's kind of a testament to how relevant Angry Birds is, isn't it?
Okay, so the biggest game of the year, Destiny.
It's a game with issues. It could be amazing, but it's a game with issues.
A game with issues Bungie don't seem particularly keen on fixing.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Bungie doesn't seem to get what is good about their own game.
Well, maybe they do, and maybe they just are under a time crunch, because we had your impressions of the DLC last time we were here, and that sounded like it just was not what you expected it to be.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, well, they said that it was going to flesh out the story in it, and that's a not.
Nah.
Yeah, but you can't finish a story that doesn't exist. I haven't played the final game. I still want to get it, but the way people talk, I'm going to get it when it's much cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be, well, it was my reason to get a PS4, but the more I hear about it, the less that's the case.
Yeah, are you still excited for a PC port? Maybe they can mod it to actually have a story. And hopefully mod it so you can skip cutscenes. I hated that about the beta, and I hear that's in the final version as well.
Yep.
You can't, like, I understand that skipping it the first time through, but every time you do a mission, you have to watch the same cutscenes.
Yep. Even when you do, like, a Nightfall mission, which is, like, a daily thing that's, like, extra difficult, so you do that, oh, this is the daily Nightfall mission, so I can get a specific reward. But if that mission ended in some kind of cutscene, you have to watch it again. No matter how often you've already done it.
That was so annoying. The Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call. Okay.
That's a game.
I assume nobody played D4 based on the tweets. I think I'm in the process of downloading that. That's free. That's the Xbox Live games with gold.
That's kind of a shame that it's gone free already.
It's the best marketing Microsoft has given it, so... Disney Infinity 2.0. Okay. So September wasn't a big month then. Hyrule Warriors.
Wait.
What did I miss?
Lots.
Like what?
In September. Wasteland 2 came out in September. That was an amazing RPG.
Okay.
One of the best of the year. Maybe in the last 5 years. That's how good it is. And Endless Legend came out, which is a fantastic strategy 4X game. And let's see, what else was September? No, that's a port. Okay, I think you know you can continue.
Okay, so I didn't miss a lot. I missed two games.
I missed two.
Hyrule Warriors. I'm going to tip my hand. It's my personal game of the year. And I will be completely honest with you. I don't know why. The only thing I can say is it's just really, really, really fun to play.
Isn't that enough of a reason?
Yeah, that's enough of a reason. I don't think it's gonna sit well with any of you folks, but...
Wait,
I'm like,
me? I have no issue with that.
I can't, like... It's not the best game I've played this year. It's not the best made game. It doesn't have the best music. It's not the, you know, prettiest game. But it's the game I had the most fun with. It's the game that I'm always thinking about going back to play. It's the game that I always want to play when I'm not playing it. And I don't know why. It's just amazing to play. It just has the right feel to it.
I don't have any objections because I have played a Dynasty Warriors game before. And it's just, you know, sometimes you like junk. And if, you know, Dynasty Warriors is enjoyable junk.
Yeah, it's polished junk too.
Yeah.
And it's a ton of content. There's just a ton of content. I haven't even looked at the DLC yet because I haven't finished I finished the campaign. I kind of want characters and their weapons and art, other stuff. And then there's the adventure mode. And the adventure mode is this whole other beast. And it's like, this is just, I don't know if I will ever finish it, but it's just a great game to play. Okay, that brings us to the busy, busy, busy time of the year. Fingers crossed. Chariot, Xbox One. Anybody played that? Okay.
It was on Xbox One, I haven't played it.
It's free right
now.
I don't
even know what that is.
I think it's on multiple systems now, but it's like a game where, I think Sony showed it off too. It's a game where you're like a prince or something, and you're being carried in a chariot, and the chariot has like wonky physics. It's like somebody has to like climb and jump and all this other stuff to pull your chariot. But whatever. Nobody's played it. It's not going to matter. Super Smash Bros. For the Nintendo 3DS.
I would have bought it, but I'm not terribly into Smash Bros.
Okay, I bought it because I won the free soundtrack in Mewtwo. I was pleasantly surprised that they pulled off Smash Brothers on a handheld, and it's good, you know, it's nice that it's a different enough game from Smash Brothers Wii U in regards to stages and certain modes, but let's be honest, if anyone's going to win, it's going to be Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Sky and his trap team. No. Alien Isolation.
That game is good. I can see why people have issues with the pacing, because the pacing is really off towards the middle of the game. And it gets to a point where you do actually just get how to move around the alien and how to just not have it be an issue. I mean, well, I say not be an issue. It turns into an inconvenience, because it's just something you've got to walk around all the time and be sort of wary of. But to start off with, the game has a great atmosphere, and you know, it has all the right ideas for an alien game. It's not junk, unlike Colonial Marines. You know, it's well made. It looks great, especially if you max it out on PC. It looks fantastic. The audio design is, I don't think there has been any better audio design in a game this year. The ending's kind of, it's kind of set up for a sequel, I guess. Because you can't make a game nowadays without setting up for a sequel. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction for licensed alien games, you know. It's the alien game we should have gotten a long time ago, and I don't understand why it's taken this long for anybody to make it. But, yeah.
It's actually, you know, I'm not that surprised, but in that sense, actually kind of amazing that this is a game got made on a AAA budget.
Yeah, because obviously the AAA industry has decided that you can't make survival horror games be profitable anymore. And Alien Isolation has a good reputation, you know?
And to a lesser extent, so did The Evil Within, but I guess we'll get to that. Well, we can talk about that now. So I feel like that really kind of disappeared by the end of the year.
I don't know that many people actually liked The Evil Within that much.
Yeah, I heard mostly people being disappointed, and I said multiple times before, what I've seen, what I've played on conventions, I didn't think it was great.
I mean, people, like, it's a Shinji Mikami game, and it seems like there are points of the game that look like a Shinji Mikami game, and you can tell that he had some influence, but it feels like the developers were just left to fill in the gaps, and how they filled the gaps in isn't particularly great. So it's like, it's got hints of the Shinji Mikami greatness in there, but that's all they are, is they're kind of hints, because it doesn't feel like he was there the entire time. And it doesn't help that you have a story that you can't follow, and a character that's unlikable, and, you know, and on PC the game's barely playable at all.
It isn't that different on console,
oh,
in that sense.
Drive Club.
Does that game still work? Does that
works.
Oh, okay.
It works,
and it's really good, apparently. That weather effect is really amazing from the screenshots I've seen. The problem is,
I heard nothing but good things about the updates they made, and now that it also works. It's probably the case could be made, or actually should be made, this is the way the game should have launched.
Yeah, and I think 2 months is, especially at the end of the year, was just too much.
And especially given the game that was delayed a year.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
there is no excuse. I'm not going to say there is an excuse. There is no excuse for how that game launched, I think. And I didn't think it was a bad game. I just think, like, the way it launched, the way they handled these updates, and the way parts of it just didn't work, it's terrible.
Okay, but yeah, it's a lot of people who have stuck around with it really appreciate the evolution of it via patch. But if all it was going to take was 2 months, they should have just delayed it to December. It made no difference to Sony's bottom line this year.
If anything, it hurt it.
Yeah, PS4 continues to sell well. NBA 2K15, the only thing I know about that is the funny pictures from Kinect Camera.
Somehow miss Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor?
No, I thought that was at the end of...
No,
you did miss that. Wow. Bad on you, Martin. Bad on you. I can't believe you skipped over that game.
I've been waiting, and then I looked up again at my list. I'm like, dude, we're in October. Why did you not mention Middle of Shadow of Mordor?
Why did you not mention Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor?
Because some reason, we were still in September.
Even though I said now on to October. But yes, one of my top games as well of this year,
yeah,
is Batman in the Order of the Rings skin.
It's more the Assassin's Creed game that never was, but should be.
It's a good Assassin's Creed game, some would say.
Yeah. And the Nemesis system, it's just awesome. I love the Nemesis system. It's really good. I hope people steal that.
Okay,
that's
so
a good thing to steal.
So just as a quick aside, because nobody's talking about it, my friend actually picked up the PS3 version of the game. It has a Nemesis system, but it does not have, I guess it's not as robust or IP as it is in the other versions. And he also says the performance is terrible.
The last gen version is apparently pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, he says anytime you want to go into the menu, there's like a 10-15 second delay.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I hated Bayonetta on the PlayStation 3.
And Fable 3 as well.
I've never played Fable 3, so
let's put it this way. Fable 3, instead of a menu, the game actually teleports you into a different part, a different like world, and that's the menu. You have to walk around the menu, and you have to interact with the menu as if you were in the world. And you have to wait for it to load when you push the button, which is crazy. Peter Molyneux, what were you thinking when you came up with that? But yeah.
Okay. Viv Ribbon. Yeah. No. But
that doesn't count just because you dumb Americans got it this year for the first time.
I wasn't counting it at all. I was just, it was a running joke this year where everybody kept on mentioning it. Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
This game is... if anybody votes this game as their game of the year, I don't know what else that they played. They must have played nothing, because it's inferior to Borderlands 2 in every way. The game's not even that special on its own, really.
It's a cash-in.
I will not disagree with you. It is a cash-in. It smells of a cash-in. I understand if you've got a formula that works, don't fix it, because it already works. But 2K Australia don't understand what made Borderlands 2 good. And that's evident in everything. It's not as funny. There's not as much variety in the gameplay. There's not as much gameplay anyway. The game's not as balanced as Borderlands 2 was. It's a cash-in.
Okay. Skip to Mayu. We already talked about The Evil Within. Da 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 da. Lone Survivor? No.
F1 2014, which is terrible.
Fantasia Evolved, which is actually pretty solid, not just because we had the guy on the interview.
No. It's a good game. Bayonetta 2!
Is that what we're skipping to next?
Yeah, I don't see anything else that's worth mentioning.
Wow, that is really sad. Okay. Again, tip of my hand, Bayonetta 2, one of my favorite games this year. I think as far as action and set pieces go, I don't know of any game that compared to it this year.
Probably nothing, yeah.
I think Martin and I both agree it has a fantastic story, probably one of the best in years. And I will pay $10 anybody. I will pay $10 anybody who can actually explain it in any way that's coherent. not coherent, but any way that actually makes logical sense as to what happens. It's really like, okay.
But the funniest thing to me is the people defending that story.
I love Bayonetta. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a perfect game to be extremely enjoyable and gaming.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's like part of the charm of Bayonetta is that the story makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be the same if it did, you know?
No, it would. I can follow the Devil May Cry stories, and both are amazing games.
I just think that, like, the like Bayonetta is a game that is batshit insane, and it goes so it's so insane that the story doesn't.
You
make
can't
sense,
see
and that's
insane
like
and half comprehensible.
No, I like it. I like it when it's insane and incomprehensible.
I think
at least
be,
it knows that.
But I think you can be insane and comprehensible. I mean, they did the same thing actually with The Wonderful 101, where I understood the story of that game the entire way through. With Bayonetta 2, like, at some point, I don't know when the story became something and something else, but I didn't care because the ride I was on was amazing. It's just the rails were kind of shaky the entire time.
Also, let's be honest, the insanity of Bayonetta does not stem from the story itself, and more from the crazy set pieces and
yeah,
the
and
crazy action. So the story in that sense is totally irrelevant.
Yeah, and that's all you really need. Fantasy Life, another game I own that I haven't played. Costume Quest 2, I don't think any of us picked that. You also The Fallen, did anybody pick that up? Okay. Sunset Overdrive. I think Sunset Overdrive is a potential contender if I get the time to actually sink my teeth into it. I did the Xbox One, like they had that weekend-long trial, and I enjoyed that, but there was a limited amount of content in it. I have the retail version, but I've mentioned this before, I'm trying to stick to one game at a time, so it's Shadow of Mordor right now, so I haven't had time to go deeper, but it's really fun, it's really different. It's not, like, I remember one of the problems I said with it originally was that it looks like you just shoot in a general direction and hit stuff, which is still kind of true, but there is an element of strategy depending on the weapons you have and the enemies you're facing off against, and there are some weapons that do require better aiming than others. So yeah, it's really fun.
All I can say is what I played, I didn't care for it.
And fair enough. Fair enough. I one of the things I do love about it,
especially
and I'm sure
the humor. I thought the whole
the humor
I
is kind of
juvenile.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna say one thing I do like about it is that they, and I guess it depends on who you are. They tie the music into your performance, so like the music, like it's quiet if you're not doing anything, and as you kind of rack up combos and stuff like that, the music kind of kicks in, and like the better you do, then it will add jurics and stuff like that. So that's a really nice touch.
Yep. That's something I like when games do that. Some games do that. Killer Instinct kind of did that as well.
A lot of games do that now, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Now we're in November. I guess Martin sees something that he doesn't want to talk about yet. Okay. Call of Duty Advanced War.
I think we should mention WWE 2K15.
I am not mentioning WWE 2K15. The only wrestling game I want to mention on this show is WWE Supercards.
Oh, boy.
But we're not going to
play that.
WWE Supercards?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great game. That's a great mobile game.
No, it's not. I have played it for way too long. It's not a good game.
I've played it for too long. It's not a good game.
So
I'm just
I know how that feels about Simpsons Tapped Out.
But, I mean,
it's not a game anyone should play. And I probably played it for hours. You shouldn't play it. It's barely a game if you think about it.
It's barely a game, but it's very fun at being very a game. Because it's like the collector's mentality in a game that doesn't really hamper you from being that collector. Because it's just like you want to get more cards, and you want to see the rests, and you want to get legendaries, and you want to get rares, and you want to get commons. And there's no reason to continue playing it because the combat is you pick three cards and it kind of fights at random.
It's barely a game, like I said.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
That's probably...
There's almost no fanfare about that unless I've just been kind of out of the loop.
No, it's been really quiet with anything.
The general consensus has been that, like, yeah, it's the kind of shake-up that the franchise has needed for a while, but it still hasn't reinvented the wheel. So if you know,
it has, but it's the best Call of Duty probably has been since Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed my time with the multiplayer. I thought it actually had a good campaign, which, boy, it has been a long time since Call of Duty campaign I would consider good, and it actually really looked good as well. I enjoyed it a lot. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. I actually, and to your point earlier of talking about Wolfenstein, I enjoyed Call of Duty Advanced Warfare more than I enjoyed Wolfenstein.
It seems like a lot of people enjoyed it, but I feel like it was because it's like, oh, it's better than the last few games have been, so it's kind of like, again, it's expectations where it's like, it's good that it's actually getting better, but I think so many people are just kind of burnt out on it. It's like, it's Call of Duty again, even if this one
It's not a lot. Like I said, I played it, and I haven't played Black Ops 2 and Ghosts, at least not the full titles, and but it's also not like this game gets me now back on the Call of Duty train. I'm now like, well, let's see what next year turns out, but on the other hand, I know it's probably not going to be as good, because it's going to be Treyarch, and not that they are bad, but we know how they handle these titles. Basically, every studio now always has their own thing. And I already fear they will basically remove what make this game better than the previous titles with the stuff they change. I fear they will remove that, and then that will actually look like a huge step back.
Yeah, and kind of to Anthony's point, and it could be, you know, it seems like a lot of games did not have that kind of that long-standing. Most of the games that people continue to talk about were for negative reasons, being broken, not working, being disappointing. Like, there wasn't that one game that kind of permeated the conversations throughout the year because it was so good, it was so amazing. Like, the games we kind of talk about at the end of the year, like Destiny and Watch Dogs and stuff like that, which were disappointing. I think the OE2 games I can think of that have really that kind of positive momentum headed into the new year were... we mentioned Shadow of Mordor already, and the next one is Dragon Age Inquisition.
And Bayonetta 2.
I feel
the
like
problem with Bayonetta 2 is really niche.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think
I hear surprisingly more people talking about Bayonetta 2 than about our stuff.
Yeah, I hear people talking about it, but I feel like... I mean, I think as a whole, like, a lot of people are talking positively about Nintendo's Wii U lineup for the year with Mario Kart and Donkey Kong and Smash Bros. And Hyrule Warriors. But even then, it's kind of talking about it as a collective and not necessarily any individual game in that.
No, I hear lots of specific Bayonetta 2 mentions.
Okay. I know Giant Bomb talked, a lot of people talk about it, but I feel like it's also kind of like, oh, if you haven't played Bayonetta, which based on sales figures, most people haven't. But yeah, a lot of games, I guess we can get to this now. Assassin's Creed Unity, it's one of those games that people talk about, but not for a good reason.
No, of course not.
Well,
the thing is
with Assassin's Creed Unity is if you take away the fact that it was super broken for ages... It's an Assassin's Creed game. We all know what those are like because they've been releasing them a dime a dozen for the last 7 or so years.
Yeah.
You know, as an Assassin's Creed game, having Assassin's Creed mechanics is not anything to talk about because that is the status quo and it always will be until the series stops selling. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the problem that we're setting into at the moment is, 2014 has kind of been the year for the status quo, I guess, apart from the fact that everything, things were broken for a long time.
It's either things being broken, things being ports, or things not evolving
at
all.
Well, the thing is, the ports are just, again, part of the status quo, you know, with Tomb Raider and The Last of Us and, you know, and Sleeping Dogs and Saints Row and stuff, all getting ports because they want to keep selling the same game. And not put any work into actually getting anything up on next gen, current gen yet, you know. So I mean, hopefully 2015 will change that, but I think 2014. That's the reason why 2014 in games hasn't been fantastic.
I think 2015 already looks better, and I expect to be better.
Yeah, but I feel like we say that at the start of every year because a lot of the 2015 games that we're looking forward to are delayed out of 2014. That means they're going to hit this year, but Batman was a 2014 game. The Witcher 3 was a 2014 game, I believe.
Witcher 3
was a
2014
game. Quantum Break was a 2014 game. So There's a lot of games that were that at the start of the year looked promising and then they got pushed back into next year. But yeah, this year looks better. I don't even know if anybody. Halo Master Chief Collection doesn't count, but another game that talk around it is all negative about it not working. Lego Batman 3, I think to Daniel's point, it's just more Lego games that nobody's even talking about it.
True.
Sonic Boom, another game that is surrounded by negativity because of how poor it is.
The difference is great.
Boom is just a bad game, whereas the others are good games that just don't work.
We're talking about Sonic Boom 3DS or Sonic Boom Rise of Lyric Wii U?
Doesn't make a difference? I honestly don't even know.
The 3DS had a hint of what Sonic was. Sonic, or the one for Wii U, was... I don't even know what it was. It wasn't Sonic.
Yeah, and I think the Jimquisition did an article, a feature on this, and it's something we've said before. It's like Sega doesn't know what they want Sonic to be, so every time they do it, it's kind of the Call of Duty problem. And like there's so many different hands on it that you know, like what's good about one may not carry over to the next one because somebody else is doing that. And that's the same thing. Like even with people, even though it wasn't great, people like Sonic Chaos World to a certain degree. And then you get rid of everything from that to do Sonic Boom because it's done by a completely different game studio. And then while people are down on Sonic Boom, you announce Sonic Runners because why not announce a mobile game?
Well, Sonic Generations, make a sequel to that. Everyone will be happy again.
Yeah,
that was such a good game.
People would have been happy with a sequel to Sonic if they continued the Sonic Colors, Sonic Generations style gameplay. And they didn't. Who knows why? It's Sega.
Yeah. Sega are fixing things that weren't broken, and Sonic Colors wasn't broken, and Sonic Generations wasn't broken. And, I mean, okay, the Sonic Generations isn't exactly the same gameplay-wise to Colors, but at least it was an anniversary game. There was a reason for that, you know? And if you have something good, don't change it. And Sega doesn't seem to understand that, so...
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, ugh, Sega. Sega. Okay, Dragon Age Inquisition. But that was one of the games that
you skipped. You skipped one.
Did I skip this time?
You skipped this wall of mine.
Oh yes. I did not see this on the list.
Yeah,
but
this wall of mine, which is like a really noteworthy game in the sense of having a game about survival in a war zone, basically, and being just very effective at telling its story through gameplay, and while still actually being fun to play, in a sense. I mean, your experience during it is... I mean, it's horrifying what's happening to these people, and... But on the mechanical level, it's really interesting, so you keep with it, and... care about these people. It's, I think, a very unique experience. It's definitely worth mentioning.
And it's kind of an interesting game to come out of 11-bit as well, considering they tower defense games before.
True.
Okay. And it is one of those games you talked about on the show, and I do want to pick it up. And again, it's always just a time commitment. Time and money, really. But yeah, it seems really interesting, and I do want to try to get into that at some point. Now, Dragon Age Inquisition? Or did I miss anything else?
No, it's okay. I really like Dragon Age Inquisition. I actually had fun with the story. I enjoyed the story. I think they fixed a lot of what people hated in Dragon Age 2. The combat is way better. Still not quite as good as in Origins, because it's a bit too simple. Basically, I had to bump up the difficulty to hard, otherwise I would have never used the strategic view, because I could just play my character and hit on stuff and maybe use an ability every once in a while. So definitely play it on hard if you play it. And I really like it does have some issues. Overall, let me say, it's also really beautiful. They have huge areas, which is really cool. But it has some problems that really bugged me. Like, I felt like most of the side content is totally uninteresting in the sense that it's just collecting stuff or finding stuff. Lots of just simple fetch quests without even an interesting story attached to them. And basically the only interesting side stories were the ones involving your party. Basically like the Mass Effect friendship quest or whatever you want to call them. That's basically the most interesting side content. So if you get the game and play it, maybe do a couple of collection things that you find on your way, but basically you just focus on the main story and the inner circle missions and you're fine. Yeah, that's my opinion on Dragon Age Inquisition.
Did anybody play Escape from Dead Island? Escape Dead Island? No. Far Cry 4?
Nope. Okay. I have played Far Cry 4 because I got it for really cheap.
Free.
it's a fun game. Really fun, actually. I think I really enjoy the idea of having an open world first person shooter in which I can tackle my objectives in whichever way I want. That's an idea that's just on its own very appealing to me. So Far Cry 4 in that sense is great, and the stealth works really well, the shooting is fun, all the kind of jazz. The story is actually better than in Far Cry 3. Problem is, though, it's a Ubisoft game, and that means you have to climb towers. There's a ton of shit on the map that you have to collect. And for the most part, it kind of doesn't have any new mechanics. It's kind of just a Far Cry 3 expansion pack. Think about it. It's Far Cry 3 in a different setting.
It works with Ubisoft until like the third or fourth edition where people just kind of, yeah, we've played this game before.
So I kind of give it a pass since it's basically just the first time this happened. But if Far Cry 5 is again just more Far Cry 3, then I would have way more of a beef with that game. I would say.
Okay. It'll be Planet 3. And no, before you say something, we did not skip GTA 5, Martin.
I know why I didn't mention GTA 5. But it makes sense to me. Skip.
Okay, I assume nobody played Little Big Planet 3. I saw some
footage. No, I don't care about Little Big Planet since the first one. I played the first one. That was my fill of Big Planet.
Super Smash Bros. For Wii U.
I think it's good Never Alone. I heard a lot of good stuff about Never Alone.
I've heard nothing about it. Now Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U? Yay.
The thing about Smash Bros. Is that just in going through it, and this ties back in, we could talk about this for a while too, but ties back into Amiibo. With all the extra stuff aside from the main game, which includes improved online for Smash Brothers, there's the amount of customization options available with stat changes, with custom move sets and stuff, and then combining that with Amiibo and just the sheer amount of content in Smash Brothers. Like, you could have this as the only game that you have for Wii U and probably be occupied for months.
And some people will be, and then you have some people who are already bitter about it not being the perfect evolution of Melee. But I won't get into it. I hate Smash Brothers fans so much.
They're saying that it's not the perfect evolution of Melee?
Well, no, there was an interview. Yeah, we'll talk about this another time. But yes, I actually tried out some of the Amiibo stuff this weekend. I thought it was kind of fun. It's a little nice. The only thing is it's kind of cumbersome if you use more than a few of them because you have to save them all after every match.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
every time you're done playing with them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess you can continue using
them. If you go out of the mode you're in, then you have to scan them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so bad, but because I have a collection of, I think, like 7 or 8 of them now, I just decided to use all of them in the mode, and then it's like, oh, yeah, you have to scan them in order, so it's not like you can just scan, like, it's like, okay. I mean, granted, it's the order you scan them in, I guess, but it's like,
you have, Are you sure you have to scan them in order?
Yeah, there's an order where you have to scan them.
Nope,
when
you don't have to scan them in order.
No, I'm talking about when you're saving them.
No, you don't.
I don't think you do.
I did, because whenever I put on another one, it's like, this is the wrong amiibo. Please put on the proper one.
I put one on before the other, and it just said, okay, this is that one. Then the order just changed.
Okay, yeah, anyway, I'll try it again. But yeah, I did it like twice, and it's like, this is the wrong amiibo. But yeah, they're fun. I haven't done any of the customization with them, but I do that, you know, it's a way to kind of give you, it's also a way to kind of give you a custom version of these characters you can kind of pop in and play against, which is also kind of neat. I still don't necessarily think it's a great, you know, it's, oh my gosh, I need amiibos for this, but it's a fun thing if you have them.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, a ton of stages, a ton of characters, but really, it's the music. I mean, there's, what, over 400 songs in this game.
The
and
music
it,
is music.
You could probably just spend time going to the music menu trying to find the songs you want for every stage or the balance.
That's what I did yesterday. No kidding.
They made
the soundtrack options so customizable alone is kind of amazing.
Well, they did that in Brawl too. But yeah,
I don't remember much about Brawl, to be honest.
But
so.
Yeah, Brawl did that too, where you could pick, like, for the Sonic stage, it was always the Sonic Boom from Sonic CD. That was always the music that played on that stage for me. But yeah, I love the fact that you can
It's the best Sonic song ever created, so.
Yeah, I do love the fact that you can go through and you can say,
let's be real. I mean, are you thinking about Escape from the City from Sonic Adventure 2? Come on.
No, Sonic Boom is the best one. I mean,
exactly. Rolling around at the speed of sound.
No.
I prefer Sonic R soundtrack, to be honest.
I think we all kind of agree. It's Sonic CD. Me and Martin agree. So is written. So shall pass. Geometry Wars 3. Did anybody play that? I didn't even know that came out.
I looked at it and I was like, this is nothing. Like Geometry Wars.
It actually is. Awesome. It has two different modes. There's the arcade mode, which is basically just Geometry Wars 2 with, I think, another option thrown in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the other mode is the adventure mode, where they have, like, the stages that can be a sphere, and they throw different modifiers in. So it's basically two modes in one. I actually still want to play it, but I'm kind of waiting on a sale for me personally, because like you, I'm more into what Geometry Wars 2 was,
yeah.
So I probably will spend more time in the arcade mode than in the adventure mode. But having that thrown in there, if I get it for cheaper, I will probably also play it. So that's what I'm thinking. No, it actually has what makes Geometry Wars great. So don't fall for that.
Well, I think I'll do what you're doing then. I'll wait for a sale.
Yeah.
Okay, Persona Q, is that out in Europe?
Not sure. I think it is, but I don't know what it is. It's Etrian Odyssey with Persona combined, and I think Etrian Odysseys are really well-done dungeon-crawling RPGs, and so I can totally see why people will love Persona Q. If you're into Persona and want to play a great dungeon crawler, get Persona Q. Yeah, it's all in Europe.
One of our personal favorite games this year, The Crew. I think it's been our beat-up toy for most of this year. I think it kind of came and went with a whimper. Like, I honestly think we forgot about it the week it came out.
You talked about it the week you talked about the beta.
When it
that's
came
true.
Out.
I talked about it the week before it came out, after I tried the beta and was infuriated by how mediocre it was.
Yeah,
and the microtransactions.
Yeah, after that, nobody mentioned it, so I just wanted to bring it up one more time, because we probably will not talk about it in the new year. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
I will play that tomorrow.
Oh yeah, the release for Europe has been so messed up.
Yeah,
because
Nintendo, they can't talk to the customer.
Well, it wasn't even that. It's like they decided to be nice and give it early, but it wasn't.
No,
across
that was
the board.
Nintendo UK. Yeah, it was just Nintendo UK did that. And you know, the best thing is you can't buy it on the eShop in the UK. The only way you can get it is in a store.
Yeah, because that's what I mean. Because it went, but not every store had it.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It's like, we'll have launch it and not tell anybody.
And the rest of Europe is like, wait, why? We still have to wait. Fuck yeah. You guys.
And it's worth the wait. It's an extremely enduring, charming, and wonderful game. It's very much unlike anything I've played recently. And it, you know, not just because it's an extremely optimistic game, the characters are bright and cheerful and sunny, and they have little nerdy dances and stuff like that. It's just, you know, like, there aren't, like, it's not a pure puzzle game. I don't like calling it a puzzle platformer. I think I prefer, like, a puzzle adventure game, where it's...
I don't see why people would call it a platform, because you don't do any jumping at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I can see, like, it's because it's a Mario game, I can understand why you want to use a platformer, but there's no jumping involved. So I don't know where you would get the platforming part from. There aren't that many platformers in here. It's like a puzzle adventure game. It's like you get an environment, and you have to figure out how to get to point A, from point A to point B, and if you want, you can get from point A to point B while picking up C, D, and E, and then once you finish that, Z unlocks. And it's a really careful game. I put up a review of it this week. I will say it also has some of the shortcomings or shortcuts that EAD Tokyo is known for. As much as I love their games, there are some faults that they tend to reuse bosses a lot. And this game has two bosses the entire game. Granted, you see one boss three times and one two times, but it's still your two bosses in the entire game. And a lot of the post-game content is just like, you're going to go through stages that you went through before, but this time with a different methodology. And it's like, okay, so I understand we're using content, but, you know, for some people that show comments, it doesn't really affect me in any way. It's just noticeable because they did the same thing in Galaxy and 3D World. We fight some of the same bosses two or three times throughout the game.
I'm just glad we're doing our final game of the year voting a bit later so I can still get some playtime in with that game because
It won't be like the 2015 list because it's, yeah. And I think the final game of this year was Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
That game's pretty good. It's not groundbreaking or earth-shattering or anything, but it's a nice sequel to what was a kind of a surprise, to be honest, because I don't think anybody expected Guardian of Light to be as good as it was. It's kind of light on the story side. Guardian of Light was a bit longer. I haven't yet managed to get to the challenge tombs yet, but it's more of what made the first game great, you know. I wasn't disappointed by it at all.
Yeah.
I want to mention one more game. Guilty Gear Xrd Sign, I guess is how you say it.
I think it's, yeah.
Just because I think that game is absolutely gorgeous. What they made with Unreal Engine and making it look 2D in the sense that even their animations are happening at like 15 frames a second, so it still looks like it's actual 2D animation. And when like sometimes when a perspective shift might happen during a dust attack, and then your mind is blown that you're not actually playing a 2D game, but that it is actually a 3D game. It's kind of amazing, and it also just really plays well. It's definitely the evolution of Guilty Gear, and I really enjoyed what I have played of the Japanese demo when that came out. Since the game is not out in Europe, I have no idea why no one picked that up, or why it's taking so long. I could theoretically import the US version, but problem is, I don't know how many people do that, so playing online with a fighting game, I mean, usually Guilty Gear is good. The ARC games have good netcode, but still, transcontinental netcode is a whole different ball game, so that's probably not a good idea, so I guess I will continue and wait that hopefully someone picks it up here.
What is a Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the question Nintendo tends to ask.
It's just like, We have Japan, we have Canada and America, and then between them is just a big black hole, and there doesn't seem to be anything there at all.
Nothing at all. Nothing worked in at all. But yes, that was 2014. I think we kind of hinted at it during this portion of the show. Not the best year in the world. It didn't set the world on fire. There were some great games, to be sure, but there was also just as many, if not more, not necessarily stinkers, but just bad experiences for consumers. Either broken, missing features, spending half your time downloading patches for them because I really hate Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Chief Collection.
Just to find out the game doesn't work online anyway.
I mean, I said this, but it's partially because of work and the holiday seasons and just my schedule. But I've literally spent more time downloading patches for that game than I actually have playing that game. just as a funny aside, and we'll talk about this more next week, I had to download in order to download the Halo 5 beta, you have to go to the Halo Master Chief Collection. And I went to download it because they pre-ordered it the Sunday night. And I turned on Halo Master Chief Collection. There is a 4-gig update. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All I want to do is sign on to your friggin' game so that I can download the beta so that I can play the game tomorrow. And then what happens is you can't pre-order the game until the entire patch was downloaded. So I could start the Halo Master Chief Collection, but I couldn't download the beta because the patch wasn't finished installing. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I hate this game so very much. Like, I swear, it's probably a quarter of my it's more than a quarter of my Xbox hard drive at this point. I've already had the thing for a month and a half. Yes, and we'll figure that out more as we go into the new year. So far, I really hate my Xbox One purchase so much.
And then I told you it's a bad idea.
It's crazy, because PC has never had these problems. Never. You know? it's nuts.
No one listens to me ever.
Console games are supposed to be better than PC games.
Well, I mean, it's not completely terrible. I have Titanfall, and I really enjoyed Titanfall, but I probably could have got the 360 version. It's been a frustrating experience for me, because it has a lot of the problems I hate, but none of the benefits. It's not like it has these amazing games that are, like, overcoming the fact that I spend half my time with the system either updating or waiting for it to update something else so I can actually play. Like, if I want to play a game, I just can't say, oh, I want to pop this in and play. It's usually an update or a patch. We'll talk about this more often, yeah. But yes, for Daniel, Martin, Anthony, and Jason, who is actually, I think, at work today, this has been Dual Wielding Episode 166, our 2014...
Loser!
Our 2014 Game and Review episode.